The following message is from King's Church 1066, based in Hastings, Bexhill and the surrounding area. For more information, head to our website, kings1066.org.
All right, a very good morning to all of you, and it's a joy to be with you again. New arrangements. This is interesting. Okay. So this is not the new plan, is it? Anyway, good morning to all of you. My name is Sam. I'm one of the pastors here at King's. I'm based in the Bexhill venue, and so some of you may not know me. I'm married to Claire. We have two sons. We've actually just come back from Ghana, and we had a fantastic time. And I just thought I would share just a few. So we spent Easter Sunday with our friend Michael, who leads the City of Grace Church in the eastern part of the country. I had the joy of speaking on Easter Sunday. We had a fantastic time, exuberant praise and worship. You finish and you are sweating profusely. I had the joy of preaching about the resurrection and what that means for us. And there were several responses to the gospel. So praise God for that, that the gospel is bearing fruit in other parts of the world. Praise God for that. But I heard some really exciting stories. So Michael and the church have a radio program. Every Monday morning, they preach the gospel on radio. And I had an amazing story of this man who was an alcoholic, but would regularly tune in, lived around about 140 kilometers away in another village, would tune into the radio program and listen to Michael and his friends preach the gospel. Well, this man over time got saved, and he is now a local church pastor in a different church. Amazing, amazing. And I think it's great to hear stories like these and just know that the gospel is bearing fruit across the world. I mean, to just see an alcoholic transformed by the power of the gospel, and the next thing, he's actually a local church pastor helping church plant in a different part of the country. They've got many more such stories, so maybe another time I would share, but they're all doing well. Thank you to the many of you who also sponsor kits with compassion and all that. It has really put the church in a good place in the community, because of your sponsorship, a lot of these kids can go to school, they can receive health care, they can have clothes on their back and all that. So thank you very much to the many who sponsor kits with compassion. This morning, I'll be continuing in our God's A Better Story series, a rather challenging subject or topic, but I think one that we need to talk about. And so this morning, I'll be looking at the whole subject of lust and pornography. And at some point, I'm going to be asking one of my friends to join me on stage to share their own story of how God has walked with them through this challenge. There'll be many here who don't see the need for us to talk about this. There'll be many who are here and are caught up in this. There'll be many here who are in a situation where they so need help and are crying out, God, help me. I think the good of all this is we get to share God's better story. It's not so much a case of us wanting to amplify this. It's more us wanting to help each one of us see God's better story. In as much as we want to be realistic about the scale of pornography usage, we also want to cast hope that people can find freedom. Did you hear that? So it's not so much us wanting to give facts and figures. I think for me, primarily my role this morning is that there is freedom and hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is freedom and hope in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If at the end of this session, we all come to a place where we suddenly discover hope again in the gospel, that the gospel is more than enough to equip us like Joe was saying, to say no to sin and ungodliness, then my job will be done. And so I think we all need to hear it. All right, so let's just close our eyes, we'll pray, and then we'll get into this. Father, I ask that you would please help me as I share heart with your church. I want to pray, Father God, for those who have been impacted by this terrible thing called pornography. I pray, God, would you come and do your restoration work? Father God, for those who are struggling with this, I pray, would you bring help? Father God, for those who are in a good place and have no worries at all, I pray that you just would help them see again just the need around them. And I ask that our hearts will be receptive to your truth. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your work amongst us. And all God's people say, amen. All right, so let's get going. Before then, just again, thank you to all who chipped in. What I mean by that is lots of friends, you know, once they knew I was talking about this, caught up with me and said, oh, Sam, maybe you should think about this. Maybe you should consider this. Maybe you should consider that. I had a few friends email me to say, actually, you know, I'd like to share my own personal. So thank you to everyone who came on board to, you know, just share heart with me. I think we're doing this together for the good of God's people. So the problem of pornography, let's start from there. What is pornography? Well, it is printed or visual material containing the explicit description or display of sexual organs or activity intended to stimulate sexual excitement. You and I would know that pornography is rampant in our world today. You don't need to look far. It is everywhere. There's such a cultural acceptance of pornography. There's a wide-scale use of pornography. It's in films, it's on social media, in magazines, in newspapers, in books. Now, when I was growing up, there was nothing like social media. The only thing you could have was newspapers, and even that, it was in a particular section of the shop. And if you went there, there were prying eyes, and so you wouldn't dare go there. If you were, because everybody, it was kind of like in a corner in the shop, and it would often be, say, on a top shelf or something. And so if you went there, even the shopkeeper would look at you in a certain way. And so you wouldn't even dare. But today, it's everywhere. It's in your pocket. Now, how many here have smartphones? Is it an okay question to ask? Just put up your hand if you've got a smartphone. Ah, nearly everybody. Thank you very much. It is so near. I'm not asking you to do anything, by the way. It's everywhere. It's actually right there in your pocket. Now, porn sites are getting more visitors than Amazon, Twitter, and Netflix combined. In 2019, the world's top porn sites traffic jumped to 1 billion visitors per month, placing it amongst the world's top internet sites. It's not just a problem for men. I want to underline that again. It is not just a problem for men, but for women, and in some cases, children. How easy it is for our young kids to get caught up in this. Many young people are exposed before they are developmentally able to process it. It has adverse effects on them. I believe that viewing pornography is a sexual sin, but at its root is a heart problem. Not only is it a gratification of lust, but it also reveals a desire for, I suppose, some acceptance outside of God. What are some of these adverse effects? Viewing pornography distorts one's view of self. It offers counterfeit satisfaction. Pornography can become addictive. It has a powerful pull. One of my friends emailed me and just reiterated that for me. Watching porn, it triggers the release of dopamine, which is a chemical which gives a kind of pleasure kick. The more you have of it, the more you want to have. And as you keep going back for more, you end up enforcing a brain pathway, which becomes more and more instinctive to use and increasingly hard to escape from. This condition can leave people trapped. But church, there is hope. Pornography misrepresents the value of the opposite sex. It can normalize sexual abuse. It can normalize interpersonal violence. It can create unrealistic expectations. I believe that pornography perverts God's good gift of sex. It can encourage sexual infidelity. Can I also say that it is not just a problem outside the church? It is a problem within the church. I mean, the church is not made up of perfect people. It is a huge problem in the church. There are people in the church who struggle with pornography. There are people in the church who may well be addicted to pornography. There may also be people who have no worries whatsoever. But I discovered some stats to do with people within the church or the church. Now, apparently, 30% of church leaders admit to accessing pornography more than once a month. 42% of Christian men struggle with porn addiction. 75% admit to watching pornography on a regular basis. Christian women are the fastest growing segment when it comes to viewing pornography. 9 out of 10 boys and 6 out of 10 girls have been exposed to online pornography before the age of 18. 2 out of 3 young men and 1 out of 2 young women say viewing pornography is an acceptable way to express one's sexuality. I believe that pornography is a problem. I believe it is a menace. I think before we look at what Jesus says about all this, maybe we're just going to pause here, reflect on some of the stats, and I just would want to welcome my friend. He knows himself to come up and just share a bit about his own story. So Alfie, do you want to come up wherever you are? Let's just welcome Alfie. Well done for doing this.
Amen.
So Alfie, if you just want to, maybe for starters, just share a bit about your own experience, if that's okay.
Yeah, cool. I forgot how many people are here. That's mad. So I think I was probably introduced to at least some form of like sexual experience at like, I was trying to track back probably at that age of 6 or 7. I had friends, even at that age group, bragging about kind of the celebrities they'd want to sleep with and things like that. And even then, it was a bit of a, yeah, that was a bit like, okay, this is different. But my parents were very Bible, very fiery, if you know them, and you know who I mean. They're very fiery Christians, very devout. And I'll go home and say, oh, Dad, what does this mean? And that was a really awkward conversation for him. But he was like, him and my mum were really good at just teaching me biblical foundations, like what certain things mean, what these things meant. So I had two very different, I was living with two very different concepts, a very biblical concept and a very not biblical concept. I was introduced to porn probably early secondary school. I was probably 11 or 12. At this point, the internet was starting to become a bit more accessible. It was free and it was private as well. Yeah, like Sam said, that no longer did you have to go and awkwardly hand some geezer in a corner shop like a magazine or anything like that. Like it was free and it was private. So you can imagine a teen who is going through puberty and with lots of peer pressure and social structures that are kind of being redefined. You can imagine a teenager in that situation being introduced to something like this. That's a killer combination. So I wouldn't ever call myself an addict, but I was definitely kind of getting more and more saturated into this thing. I think a lot of my friends would have said this was a badge of honor, but it's probably the worst badge I could ever get. I think slowly and more gradually, I kind of got more exposed to more intense material. I think I became more desensitized to a lot of this as well. And over time, I think I realized more that it was affecting my view on girls and relationships with girls. And as much as I regret to say it, it probably has had an effect and an impact on some of the friends and relationships that I've had with girls as well. Every time I think I slipped up with this, I'd have this massive feeling of guilt and shame. I saw someone spill a Pepsi can a minute ago. It was reminding me of this. I don't know if you ever did that experiment of you get a cup of Coke and like a glass cup of Coke and you put like a tooth in it and over time you see that thing decay. That's how I felt. Just slowly over time I became more and more like, I felt like I was rotting. I didn't feel like I could tell anyone. My dad's a pastor. I was like, how are people going to react to this? How are my parents going to be affected by this? And probably more selfishly and more honestly, how am I going to be viewed after this? That's kind of how it was for me kind of growing up, really.
Thanks for sharing, Alfie. And then do you want to also just tell us how, obviously, over time, your relationship with Jesus has helped in your battle or your fight against pornography?
Stupid stand. So I've been a Christian for over 10 years, I think nearly 13 years now. I would be lying to you if I said it changed overnight. I would be lying to you if I said it was a miraculous event that God had freed me from this. I'm sure that's possible, but in my case, that wasn't the case. For a very long period of time after, it meant I was still struggling with that. And if I'm honest with you now, even now, I've got to be on guard. I think over time, I kind of, I think, especially just becoming a Christian, I think I felt this feeling of embarrassment and shame that I should be a Christian. I'm a Christian. This shouldn't be a thing anymore. I thought, have I done something wrong? Did I say something wrong? Did I not properly become a Christian? I was like, oh, what's going on? I think over the years, I slowly realized more that it had to grow on me that my salvation was never dependent on my works or how good I was, but how great God is. I think over the years I've come up with some practical things and found some very practical bits and pieces. Like you've heard, like you get all them ad blocking things, like browser blocking filtering systems. My favourite is Covenant Eyes. It's if you haven't heard of it, basically everything you watch or look at or kind of search on the internet, everything, it will take screenshots and links and send them to a friend of yours. So that's quite exposing. That's a bit vulnerable. But I knew I needed to do this because it was really, really good for me, and I wanted to put this to death. So that's one thing. I think the other thing I would definitely encourage as well is just accountability. I've got a couple of mates, a good handful actually, that are just kind of really, really good at just kind of keeping in check with me, and I know I can go to them and say, "Yo, I need help, man. I'm a mess right now," and they will be able to help me. I can trust them. That's a key thing. I can trust that they're gonna just be with me in this. They'll pray for me and they'll encourage me, and they'll call me out if I need to be called out, which is a lot if I'm honest. So things like that really. And ultimately, if you're struggling with something like this, you're in the darkness, you need to bring this into the light.
Amen.
Because in that light, in God's light, that heals things. I slowly began to realize actually what I was looking for. I think over time I've become more and more disgusted with porn and what it does to me and my friends and my family and anyone in my area of influence. And ultimately it's a sin against God. And I realized actually I'm seeking intimacy. I'm seeking intimacy with Jesus ultimately, and I'm trying to solve that. I'm trying to satisfy that intimacy, that wholesome intimacy, with some cheap attempt, with some very, just a cheap attempt at physically satisfying.
That's it.
Thank you. Just a cheap attempt to kind of satisfy myself with something that's physical. It filled me with guilt and shame and loneliness instead, really. It didn't fill no holes. I realized God loves me and he wants me to experience true intimacy, pure intimacy, and not to take a shortcut and get satisfied with someone else. He knows the best thing for me is intimacy with him. And that's why I want to encourage you here. If you know deep down, you ain't admit this before, like, you can, if you've got a mate here that you can trust, go up to them and be like, "Yo, I need help, man." Please just bring it into the light, because that's where the healing is. It's awkward, but you just need to do three words: "I need help." That's where the healing comes, man. So, yeah, cool.
Thank you, Alfie. Shall we give thank you? Thank you. Thanks, Alfie, for sharing. Thank you very much for that. What does Jesus say about all this? In Matthew chapter 5, if you've got your Bibles, you want to turn with me to Matthew and to chapter 5. From verses 27 to 29, hopefully it comes up. Thank you. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell." What's Jesus telling us here? Well, basically he's saying it's not just what we do with our bodies that matters, but also what we do with our minds. Jesus seems to be saying that to deliberately lust, including the use of pornography or viewing pornography, is virtually the same as to engage in sexual activity, to effectively be involved in adultery. Lust and pornography misuse God's gift of sexuality, and they distort the purpose of sexuality. They make sexuality about us and our gratification rather than about self-giving love. Ultimately, it removes sexuality from God's ordained context of marriage, thereby failing to use it to tell the story of Christ and the church as it is intended. Jesus is not in any way condemning our instinctive recognition of beauty or finding someone attractive, but he highlights the whole idea of lust, which is this intense and unrestrained sexual craving or desire. You see, lust has as its focus pleasing oneself. And it often leads to unwholesome actions. In this case, viewing pornography, which ultimately fulfill one's desires with no regard to the consequences. The goal of each person who has trusted in Jesus is to become more and more and more like Jesus each day. The truth, brothers and sisters, is that nobody will ever be perfect or attain sinlessness while still on this earth. I want to believe, however, that it is still a goal we can strive for. We can choose to say no to pornography each day and strive to live for Jesus, who has called us to walk with him. Jesus also calls us to radical action to deal with lust and pornography. He doesn't promise that it will be an easy battle, but he actually calls us and says, he says, be ruthless. When it comes to these things, be ruthless. He's not asking you to literally go and then pluck out your eyes. All he's saying is be ruthless. Like Alfie said, he's put in place some measures that ensure that he doesn't go down that road. Be ruthless. The sad thing about pornography is that it often brings shame, guilt. It can end up becoming a form of slavery or addiction, and it can lead to breakdown, not just in our relationship with God, but oftentimes relationships with spouses and sometimes ultimate family breakdown. Again, one of my friends was sharing with me her own story. What good news does the gospel have for those struggling with pornography? Does the gospel have any good news at all? It's felt like we've gone downhill, we're down in the valley. Has the gospel got any good news at all? What is God's better story? I want to say to you, church, the gospel has lots of good news. Hallelujah. The gospel has lots of good news for those who are struggling with pornography and lust. The first thing is this: the gospel offers freedom from shame. I think it's exciting. You see, the key thing about pornography or viewing pornography is this whole shame culture. And so you are ashamed to talk about it. You can't tell anybody about it. In the gospel, however, there is freedom from shame. You see, Christians accessing pornography often feel tied up in shame, and that stops them from being honest and seeking help. The gospel frees us from shame by telling us that we are already fully known and loved. Amen. Did you know that God knows you fully? Did you know that? Did you know that God loves you? You need to hear this again. You are fully known by God. And even though he knows you fully, guess what? He still loves you all the same. I find this amazing. God knows me. He knows I slip and I fall every now and then. But guess what? He still loves me. Find hope in the gospel. Because the gospel offers freedom from shame. Romans 8, 33 to 34, quickly, if we can find it. Is it going to come up on the screen? Yes, no, yes. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Jesus intercedes for us, and the gospel offers us freedom from shame. Secondly, the gospel also offers us freedom from guilt. You see, lust and pornography offers nothing but just draws us into sin and sin and sin. And oftentimes this leaves us guilty before God. But brothers and sisters, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ offers freedom from guilt, from punishment, not based on anything that we do or have done, but based on the free gift of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So there's not just freedom from shame, there's also freedom. Verse 1, hopefully it comes up again. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus today? Look, the Bible says there is no condemnation for you. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The Bible is not condoning sin. But Paul wants us to know that if you are in Christ, something deep and significant has taken place. Jesus no longer condemns you. So come from that place of knowing, I am not condemned. I am not condemned. Jesus loves me. Thirdly, the gospel also offers freedom from slavery. You see, pornography is powerful, and those accessing it are often enslaved to it as well. I believe the fundamental problem that causes this slavery is not our psychology or our biology. I believe it is our sin. To counter that sin, we cannot rely on self-help. To counter that sin, we need a savior who is Jesus. Jesus is our savior. And in the gospel, we are freed from the enslaving power of sin. We are now to live out the truth of God's word. Some may also need help to obviously work through the impacts of addiction and all that. But ultimately, it is the power of the gospel that breaks the hold of pornography and lust over our lives. So there's not just freedom in the gospel, freedom from shame, not just freedom from guilt, but also freedom from slavery. The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. But the gospel also equips us. It breaks the hold of sin over our lives and gives us the equipping we need to continue in the newness of life that God has called us to. Number four, there's also freedom for a relationship with God. If you're here this morning and you feel that your relationship with God is broken down because of pornography, well, I want to say to you that in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is freedom for a relationship with God. The gospel isn't just about being saved from, but also saved to. We are saved into a relationship with God, a relationship where we are fully known and fully loved. This relationship meets our deepest longings. So pornography doesn't meet our deepest longings. Our relationship with our Creator meets our deepest longings. Porn usage is often a misplaced attempt to have those needs met. The gospel frees us to experience the full fulfillment of those longings, not the counterfeit offered by lust and porn. I believe the gospel also heals our relationship with God. Not just that, but our relationships with our partners and with family as well. It brings healing. And I just want to pause here and just pray that God will bring healing to any here who have suffered or are suffering as a result of this terrible thing. Lord, I pray that your healing balm will come and just rest on your people. I pray, God, that you'll take away the distress that this terrible thing called pornography brings. I pray for restoration. I pray that hope will come again, even in hopeless situations. Thank you for the freedom your gospel brings. And finally, my wife reminded me this morning that the gospel also cleanses. Hallelujah. There is power in the gospel to cleanse our minds, to cleanse our hearts. Look, you only need to come to God and say to him, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Cleanse me. There is more than enough power in the gospel to cleanse us. So that is the gospel good news. Absolutely. What is God's better story? There is power in the gospel. Why is that? Because it brings freedom from shame, freedom from guilt, freedom from slavery, freedom for a relationship with God, and ultimately cleansing and restoration. And so even though pornography is a huge problem, the gospel is the answer. It's a problem, but there is hope in the gospel. And as I finish off, maybe the band can come up. I really felt challenged. I'm not going to list one too many practical things and say do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, and all. I just really felt the need not to do that. I felt God just give me one thing to leave with us this morning. And it's pretty simple. And it's this. Please just get a conversation going. What I mean by that is, find somebody. If you're caught up in this, remember there is hope in the gospel. If you're caught up in this, maybe you're not necessarily addicted. Maybe you just come to it every now and then. If you're caught up in this, I really would want to encourage you. Remember, listen, God knows you and he loves you all the same. He's a compassionate father, and he wants to draw you to himself away from this thing that ultimately destroys and brings destruction. And I would want to urge you to get the conversation going. Find someone you trust. Bring it into the open. That's the first place to start. It breaks the hold over your life. And so let's get the conversation going. And for those who obviously have no problems at all with this, but you know you've got people, maybe you know friends or people you disciple, again, my prayer is that God gives you wisdom. Get close to them. Open up this whole subject. It should no longer be a taboo subject. I think it should be something we're free and able to talk about. Why? Because the gospel has the answers that we need for this problem that is wrecking our society and wrecking the lives of people we love. But remember, there is power in the gospel. Freedom from shame, freedom from guilt, freedom from slavery, freedom for a relationship with God, full restoration, full cleansing. Jesus, we love you and we love your gospel. We love your better story. We love that even though you know us, you still love us the same. And I just want to pray for your work of healing in the hearts and in the minds of men and women and young people today. I pray for just a real sense of hope to come through again. I pray that your light will shine in the darkness again. I pray that conversations will start even this afternoon in this place. Lord, thank you that your power is greater and is able to break the hold over the lives of your people. Thank you, Jesus, that in your gospel there is freedom and 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 freedom for every man, for every woman, and for every child. The gospel is the power of God. God bless you, church.